Now more with Frank Gaffney.
We're back. We are visiting with Mark Helprin, a world-class literary genius, as well as a strategist of the First Order. He visits with us, as well as other outlets like the Wall Street Journal, from time to time to shed light on some of the challenges the country is facing. And we've caught up with him at a moment when President Trump has laid out his ideas about how to deal with them. And we're working our way through some of the highlights of that national security strategy, as it's called. And Mark, as you pointed out earlier, the president made a point of emphasizing the importance of having layered ballistic missile defenses. Would you give us your assessment of how effective those defenses are today, even before you throw into the mix these maneuvering and hypersonic weapons that are now beginning to be fielded by our adversaries, and what we should be doing in this regard?
Well, first of all, you would need the layers to make a sufficient defense of our counterforce assets. Counterforce assets mean the missiles and airplanes or whatever that could make a retaliatory strike. That's the most important defense, because what it says to an enemy is, if the enemy strikes us, we can strike them back. The ballistic missile defense originally was envisioned by Reagan as being a way to, at least politically, he presented it this way, to protect cities and civilians. Well, yes, it is, and infrastructure, to a point, but it's actually impossible to do that to the point where it would mean much, although it would save some lives. The main purpose of it would be to protect our retaliatory capacity, and that would stay a first strike. Now, at this point, our missile defenses, because of the shrinkage of our nuclear assets, and meaning that there's that many fewer of them, that and lots of them are stable and fixed in position, because of that shrinkage, and old, but and not necessarily reliable, but because of that shrinkage and the fixed positions, etc., that they become that much more vulnerable to an adversary that is built up, who might even risk doing that. Tempting, you know, this is where, in one sense, we have a way out. And if you combine Bob Work's idea of the third offset, meaning advances in technology, with proper funding and the political decision to actually deploy such things, we might actually work our way out of it. For instance, you mentioned hypervelocity projectiles. And these are things that can be launched from railguns, or which are electric rather than powder, or even from conventional artillery tubes. And they have their own guidance. They go extremely fast, many times the speed of sound. And they are actually capable of intercepting a ballistic missile. Then there's laser defense. We don't have powerful enough lasers now to intercept an ICBM or even an intermediate range missile, but we're getting there. And that could be either on the ground or deployed in space. And then there's the political decision to deploy boost phase missile defense, which, again, it's a political decision, because it's a big deal. The opposition to that from the left would be immense. But that's very important, because that's where missiles in their boost phase are going very relatively slowly, and they can be hit. So between lasers and hypervelocity projectiles and layering, et cetera, we certainly should, with the proper expenditure, with the sufficient expenditure, have enough capacity to protect our retaliatory capacity.
But not necessarily our people, unless the combination of the two has that effect. But Mark, one thing you haven't mentioned, which I'm hanging on, is the idea of most efficiently, and I've been told most effectively, providing that kind of layered defense, particularly in the boost phase, as it's called, from space. Are you discounting that, or is that part of what you would envision is needed?
I mentioned that.
Did you? I missed it.
Okay. Yeah, of lasers. In space, because obviously if they're in space, they have far less distance to travel, and in the vacuum of space, you don't have atmospheric interference, so that you multiply the potential power of a laser immensely. But
20 years ago or so, more I guess now, we were using fairly prosaic techniques, what were then called brilliant pebbles, to do this kind of space defense. I mean, lasers have always appealed to me, but they do seem to be complicated and expensive. I just wonder whether if we set our minds to having a truly comprehensive program, which the president seems to be talking about, we can't do it cheaper and faster than that approach may entail. Let me switch gears on you, Mark, because one of the other things that the president has alluded to and that the national security strategy refers to as well is the danger that adversaries of this country, notably but not exclusively the North Koreans, they just happen to be talking about it a lot, might threaten the most critical of critical infrastructures in our country, namely our electric grid, with something called electromagnetic attacks, or EMP, electromagnetic pulse attacks. Is that, in your judgment, a real Achilles heel for this country? And if so, how seriously should we be pursuing protecting our grid, as well as these other things you've mentioned?
Oh, I've been on this for decades now. Of course, if you think about the effect of a power outage on your local town, you know,
or the Atlanta airport, or Puerto Rico, or New York City,
when it happened in New York, everything freezes. Farmers wouldn't be able to produce food. Wells wouldn't pump. There'd be traffic jams. There wouldn't be heat in the winter. There wouldn't be air conditioning in the summer. Hospitals would run out of their generator fuel because people couldn't actually pump gas to get it out, to get it into hospitals. And with an EMP, also vehicles wouldn't go either. So there would be immense anarchy, and then a tremendous shortage of foodstuffs and medicines and water, clean water. Disease would break out. People would organize into bands and begin to slaughter each other to get whatever food stocks were still preserved. It would be an immense, immense disaster.
It's a nation-ending problem, in other words. So this is being now discussed in this strategy as something we have to attend to, which is kind of a breakthrough. I don't think, other than sort of congressional commissions and the like, that we've actually had that kind of direction announced, certainly at the level of the President of the United States. So what should we be doing to try to address this danger?
On the most basic level, I suppose from an academic strategic point of view, what we have to do is threaten to completely destroy anyone who would attempt this against us, because it would be destruction. It might be in the guise of saying, oh, well, we happened to blow a nuclear weapon high in the atmosphere. No one was killed. But then the effects of it...
Lots of people will be.
Would be, 90 million, 100 million, 200 million people would die, and the nation would end. So we have to make that clear in terms of our retaliatory policy. But that's just academic. It's actually on the ground, doing something physically. For one, protect the electric grid, harden it. The transformers that would blow take 18 months to order? And most of them are manufactured in Korea, in South Korea. We should have a stockpile of those. We should have stockpiles of things that were necessary to reestablish the electric grid once this happened. But, that wouldn't actually do it, because we are so computer dependent, and the very few things, even military assets, are not hardened against EMP. Just by reestablishing the electrical grid would not necessarily save the nation, because we are so dependent upon computation.
It's a necessary but not a sufficient condition, I guess, is
what
you're getting at, Mark Helprin. And I think the point you're more broadly making is that we cannot afford to tarry in taking the steps to protect the electric grid as well as our nuclear deterrent capabilities. I mean, there's a world of things to do. The president absolutely is going to have to get out from under this defense sequestration in order to do it. More with Mark Helprin right after this.
go to securefreedomradio.org today. It's your freedom. It's your country. Frank Gaffney's Secure Freedom Radio.